Joining me in hour number two, always on Tuesdays, is Keith Klein. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Your kids are telling you there's no school today because it's election day?
No, they just said there's no school today. They don't really care what the reason is. They were just pointing out there is no school. Heck, they're not even in town. They're getting back today from their little vacation there. And we have a special guest with us today. It's our good friend. And what is your official title these days?
I'm a retiree.
That's a retiree.
On fixed income. I've heard that
I'm on Social Security.
Perfect. Well,
I'm an entitlement guy.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good to hear because that voice is of John Weikart. Everybody knows the former Ivy Tech chancellor. And I don't have time to list all your other deputy mayor. We could go on and on and on, but we only have an hour left in our program today. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see both of you. And I want to mention, one time in my life, I taught at Cathedral High School.
Did you really?
When it was still downtown, in downtown Indianapolis, mm-hmm. back in 1870-something.
Across the street from
the cathedral. Across from the cathedral,
Where are they now, 54th Street somewhere?
Ladywood St. Agnes moved out there, and then they moved out there, too, a long time ago. But anyway.
They'll be in town Friday. That's a good football outfit. South has turned the corner in football. That should be a really good game. And the best news is I know it's going to be cold. It's kind of football weather. There's no rain. You're not going to sit out there and it's not going to be slick and frozen and everything else. But we're not here to talk about football all morning, Keith, are we?
No, he's here to talk about he's going to tell us why the food and tax and the convention center
food
and all the other stuff.
All that stuff. Now, for folks that don't know, you are on the commission. The official title of the commission was the?
It's the Monroe County Advisory Commission related to the expansion of the convention center.
And your goal was to look at all of this and see if we could find a partner to build it, how we're going to finance it. Your job was to give recommendations to the city administration, correct?
Or everybody? The county commissioners.
Okay. I want you to go through this process because we have so many redevelopment commissions. We have so many this commission, that commission, and everything else. I don't want people to get confused or just have this go in one ear and out the other. Take us from the start, just briefly, on how this came together, who put you together, and then just work up to where we are now, and then I'll hit you with all the heavy-hitting questions I have.
Sure, and I'll try to, you know, stop me if I'm getting too lengthy about this. But back in April of last year, the county commissioners put out an RFQ request for qualifications for anyone interested in building a hotel, a full-service hotel, and construction or expansion of the convention center, our current convention center. With that RFQ, they created an advisory commission, a five-person advisory commission, to review responses to that RFQ and to make recommendations about those whom had responded to the RFQ. And then later, depending on how far this proceeded, to sit down with that developer who'd been selected and to begin the process of outlining the scope of this work, what was it going to look like, and cost estimates. What is it going to cost? We met, there are five of us, Mick Renizen from the city, Jim Murphy from mm-hmm. CFC, who's also on the Building Corporation, Eric Spoonmore on the County Council, Patrick Stofers from the County Commissioners, and myself as a citizen representative. I was elected to chair this commission because I was late for the first meeting. So that's how you become the chair of a commission. So there were two responses to the RFQ. One from Sun Development Corporation, housed and located out of Indianapolis, and one from a corporation called Aquest Realty out of Michigan, a Michigan-based company. And we looked at those two responses. They were apples and oranges responses, both companies excellent in their field. Aquest was a consultant, if you will, and their proposal was to consult with the county, to act as a financial advisor. Certainly they are not a hotelier, they weren't a builder. Sun, on the other hand, has expertise and history in both building hotels and convention center expansions. We recommended to the county commissioners, that's all we are. We're a recommending group.
There's no vote.
There is no vote from us
you.
On whether or not this proceeds. There's no vote from us on whether public money is expended. We
so
simply are an advisory
So of the two choices
commission.
That you had, you recommend, your job was to recommend A or B in that. Do you feel like the A or B helped or hindered the process?
Oh, it was very. I believe it was very helpful. It's my opinion.
That's why you're here. That's all we want.
And we've been through this before. In 2013, you may recall, there was talk about expanding the convention center. Mm-hmm. There was talk about a food and beverage tax. That particular conversation failed to produce an outcome. And I think in part there were two reasons. One, there was no project.
Right. There was no vision. It wasn't. Yes.
Right. There was no, well, what does this look like? What would it consist of? And secondly, the whole question of funding, how is it financed? And it keeps coming back to the food and beverage tax. What is present now that was absent in 2013 is a commitment on the part of the city government, because a food and beverage tax comes back to the county, but it is proportioned out in terms of its revenue. The largest part of the population obviously being the city of Bloomington's population. The city of Bloomington, out of a $3 million estimated revenue from a food and beverage tax, would have received about $2.5 million of that a year. And this time, different from last time, the city has already stepped forward, the administration and the city council, by resolution, and said, we will commit our share of that.
Full share? Partial share?
Full share.
Okay, because some people have asked, where do they can take part of it, 20% of it, whatever it is.
Yeah, full.
Full share, okay.
Full share to this project. So absent in 2013 was, what is this project, and how is it going to be funded, and is there a commitment from the city to help? I have said, as we've analyzed this, in 2013 the county was being asked to buy a pig in a poke, if you will. They were being asked, why don't you pass a food and beverage tax, and maybe we can come up with a project. And if we don't, you're going to pass a food and beverage tax as a political entity, the county council, and the city is going to get $2.5 million out of $3 million.
And just go, do what with it?
Yeah, and now it has to be used for tourism or economic development. But the fact is the burden would be, for the decision was on the county council to pass the tax, but the city of Bloomington would have been the beneficiary of the revenue.
What's different now?
Well, that the city has already said, we are going to give you our revenue. We are going to give the county the revenue for this project. And secondly, we know what the project looks like. So we know it's going to be an Embassy Suites, if we move forward, a 224 bedroom Embassy Suites hotel, and an expansion of the convention center, and we're calling it Civic and Convention Center, a Civic and Conference Center, an expansion of our current convention center, you know, to include ballrooms, to include exhibition space, to include a parking garage. Because we are missing out in this community on upwards of 40 conferences a year, because we don't have the size for them, nor do we have the hotel rooms necessary. So, what we're looking at is the potential for the current convention center to see an increase of about $3 million a year in revenue, and for the community to see potentially an increase of about $14 million a year in economic benefit if we move forward with this project.
What is the downside of moving forward with this project? John Weikart's our guest this morning, by the way. He sits on. Give me that commission again. I got to write this down.
It's the Monroe County Advisory Commission for the expansion of the convention center. So that sounds like a lot.
It is, and I'm writing.
So basically, your recommendation included a hotel this time.
Yes. Yeah. It included that we know what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. An Embassy Suites hotel, all on the dime of the private investor, no public money in that hotel, and an expansion of the current convention center.
And let's talk about what the public money that is necessary. We've seen this project around the $75 million range. 37.5 ish is going to be the private. The other 37 ish is going to be public. Talk about why and how that's going to work. The food and beverage tax, you just told me, is a couple million here or there. Mm-hmm. Where does all this other funding come from?
Yeah, well, the project is not the nickel and dime, but it's about a $72 million estimated project, because we're still in the estimate stage here. We actually think that probably the project can come out at less than that.
How do you lock that in or not lock that in?
Well, we need to sit down with the developer, and keeping in mind that Bharat Patel, the principal owner of Sun Development, on his own dime, has so far given us some design, some ideas and concept about the scope of the work and the potential cost of the work. And that cost has come from a team he's put together that includes local folks like Weddle Brothers, Lee Carmichael of Weddle Brothers, Bynum Fanyo Engineering, Ratio Architects, who built the hotel here, the Hyatt Hotel. They're not local, but they've been involved in
Bloomington stuff.
Yeah, in local stuff. So they've come up with this cost estimate. So out of $72 million, 37 of it is on the private side, Mr. Patel and Sun Development having to come up with the money for the hotel. The other portion of that on the public side for the expansion, and I think there's still negotiation room even on the public side costs for some things in there. For example, infrastructure, site development, who's going to pay for that? Currently, it looks like it's on the public side. I think that's negotiable with the developer. So, we're talking about a revenue bond that would pay for the public side of this, paid back through the creation of a food and beverage tax that will generate this revenue. And like any bond, Keith and I are familiar with bond issues as related to the Indiana Center for the Life Sciences out on the Ivy Tech campus. You know, the bond is retired after a certain period of time. Our commission, by the way, is sunsetted, which often you don't see that.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're a 3-year commission, and whether we go beyond 3 years depends on, where we are, I suppose, in terms of this this project. But we are not a commission that's been created to have a life of its own and exist in perpetuity. And a lot of times you don't see that in government. A lot of times, things take on a life of their own. We're, as I said, an advisory commission who's trying to do the best we can to make recommendations. Where we are now is that on the developer side and on the commission, advisory commission side, we're sort of in what I would call pause right now. Not P-A-W-S as in my dog at home, but pause as in P-A-U-S-E as in...
Time out.
Time out, because it is now in the on the table of the county council. The county council has to make a decision. How will it fund the public side of this project? What the county council is looking at is the city partner has said, we will give you our share of this revenue if you pass a food and beverage tax. But that decision is now with the county council. It's not with the county commissioners, the executive branch. It's with the county council, the legislative fiduciary branch, if you will, of county government, and they have to make a decision now.
Does that help or hurt? It's an election coming up. This is your opinion. Your opinion.
Yeah, I think that election years can cloud things up. I think it was some of us were hopeful that we could get this decided now and whether to move forward now. It'll be an election issue, either a hindsight or a foresight
issue. There's never a quote unquote good time or bad time.
No,
for
you know,
it.
I mean, county council members running for re-election will be held accountable for making the decision to pass the tax, or they're going to be in discussions about whether they are in favor of passing the tax. So it's frankly a political issue. It doesn't matter the timing of it. It's a political issue.
Is this doable, though, John?
I'm so,
can the county actually make this happen?
Absolutely. The county council could vote to implement the food and beverage tax, which is a 1% tax on food and beverages that you buy in local restaurants, local establishments. If you think about who's going to bear the burden for paying that tax, if you're going to see an additional roughly 70,000 visitors to the community a year with an expanded convention center, and you've got IU students who go in and to Nick's or whatever establishment and they eat or have a drink or whatever, or those of us who choose voluntarily to go into a restaurant and have dinner, we are going to pay that 1% tax. So I'm not good at math. If you go into a restaurant and have a $50 meal, you're going to pay 50 extra cents on your $50 meal for the food and beverage tax. You're not required to go in a restaurant and have a meal. The burden is paid by those who are eating or drinking in local establishments.
Let me ask you this. In the last couple of years, we've seen water rates go up 50-something percent. We've seen trash service just get introduced. That's a new addition. Is this all, it seems like everywhere you look, you have something new just punching you square in the face. Is the timing of this good, bad, and different, or is this something is this the quote unquote the cost of doing business?
I think the timing's indifferent. It's the cost of doing business. Of the things you mentioned,
I've probably left a few out.
Well, as a resident of the community, I want water, you know, and I want to turn on my tap, and I want water, and I want to flush my toilet, and I want water to go away.
And then be clean when it returns.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And a service that's provided is trash service. So, do I have a choice whether or not I want to have water in my home? And is that choice different from whether I decide to go to a local establishment and have dinner and have a beer? And I think those choices are quite different. I don't have to go out to eat. I don't have to go in a local establishment and have a beer. Do I have to have water in my house? Do I have to have, sanitary in my house? Well, I think those are different choices. So I don't personally see this as an egregious, onerous tax. It's in many ways a user fee, and that I am not required to do these things. If I want to do these things, I'm going to pay 1% additional tax for doing them.
And then pay the parking meter while you're down there. Absolutely, that's
right,
part of
those,
doing business.
Again, separate issue.
Right.
And many of us go to Indianapolis for various things. We're paying food and beverage taxes, and we don't even know we're paying food and beverage
it's
taxes.
It's interesting you bring that up, because some of the arguments that we've heard is, the food and beverage tax, there are other things we can also raise to do that. Where is this balance going to lie?
Well, I don't know where those other things are.
Let me
suggest to you, here's the difference. We already have the ability to pass locally a food and beverage tax. We already have that ability. The innkeeper's tax, to increase the current innkeeper's tax, would require us to go back to the legislature and ask their permission for Monroe County to be able to increase its innkeeper's tax. Perhaps we could talk to them in the hall during court when we're suing them. We could step out and just say, hey, would you do us a favor?
While you're in there.
Yeah, while you're in there, while we've got you here, would you mind? And you can imagine how long that process would take to clear a legislative hurdle. But secondly, it won't raise enough money to get this done.
Let me ask you, though, how long is your hotel guy willing to stay in this process before he goes?
That's another point which goes back to a sense of urgency about this. Sun Development and Mr. Patel are the Hilton Hotel's number one developer. They came to this community, their representative came to this community, their director of regional development from Tennessee came here and said, this is our guy. He wants to build an Embassy Suites here. That's what he builds, and he's our number one guy. He's building them now in Plainfield and Noblesville and projects just exactly like this one. He's not sitting around twiddling his thumbs. And at some point, he'll move on to another project mm-hmm. somewhere else, and we potentially could lose him as the developer, and then we clearly are back to square one again.
And that's what is, I think, I find the most interesting part. If this is such a no-brainer, slam dunk, whatever, where is everybody lined up to build this? Does that give the, is that, that doesn't ooze confidence to me?
Well, I think there are some who might say, I'd build a hotel in your community. I don't know that I want to take on the convention center part of this. And you also have to appreciate the fact that his hotel and the success of his hotel is dependent on the success of the convention center.
Chicken and eggs?
It is. So, he wants to build this hotel because he's looking at the same thing some of us are, which is the potential for, conferences with 1,000 people coming to Bloomington and needing places to stay. Currently, not only do we not have the space in the convention center, we don't have the space in local hotels to accommodate, that number of people coming for a conference. And this is a win-win because his hotel, 224, bedroom hotel, if you will, some of us have been to conferences, and the early bird, you get the hotel that's connected to the conference center. You sign up a little later, you're in one of the overflow hotels. We believe that a rising tide will lift other boats, and that this means that other hotels in our downtown will also see increased usage. if we expand the convention center. What we currently don't have is a hotel that can guarantee us 100 rooms, 200 rooms for a conference. They can't do it, and that's what we have to have to make this successful.
The county council is not on a set time frame. I'm going to talk to Marty Hawk tomorrow morning and get their the other side, their angle. Yep. You can't require them to be so, or you can't demand action.
No.
It's completely in their court.
It is. And, you know, and Marty said at a public meeting, I've known Marty for years, enjoy her, have a lot of respect for her. She said at a public meeting, I support the project. I support expansion of the convention center. I just don't support a food and beverage tax. Well, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. So, you know, I mean, truly, everybody wants to go to heaven and no one wants to die to get there. So how can you support the expansion but not support a way to pay for it?
And that's an interesting point. Absolutely right. And we'll talk to Marty tomorrow and get the council's timeline or thoughts on this. But again, you and this commission can't lean and say, hey, well, Spoonmore's on the council, so he knows how this works. And Stouffer's is a commissioner, yeah, and mixed with the city, and you're just a retired guy on Social Security, hanging out in the
Eric,
studio today.
And Eric, and again, I respect Eric's service to our community. Eric's doing some listening.
Yeah, he
tours.
Was with us last week to explain that. Yeah.
I said to Eric, I don't mind repeating it. You know, when you're an elected official, you can either be shaped by public opinion or you can shape public opinion. So, you know, which of those do you choose? Do you choose to shape public opinion about this project, or do you choose to simply let public opinion drive the direction you want to go? And public officials make those choices all along. This is a choice of political will. I can give the county council, and those of us on the commission can give them information, need, cost. We can't give them courage. So do you have the political will to get this done? Because if we don't do this now, when are we going to do it? Or are we, you know, and the other opponents of this are simply the opponents of anything that indicates growth or more things in Bloomington, Indiana, and Monroe County. You know, the other argument being, what's in it for the west side? You know, Keith and I used to work on the west side and had the argument nobody on the east side ever wants to go on the west side of 37. And now we've got, well, if you're on the west side of 37, what's the benefit of anything happening on the east side of 37? And, you know, it's that argument. And there will be money generated by the food and beverage tax that if they would sit down and sharpen their pencils and negotiate this, if Marty would sit down in the county council and negotiate this, there are things that can happen on the west side with revenue generated by this food and beverage tax.